Please stand for the reading of the gospel if you're able. The scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 and 11b through 32. It's about the parable of the prodigal and his brother. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked, 'What's going on?' He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you're always with me, and all the time mine is yours. But when we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life, he was lost and has been found.' This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen."
Peace be with you. Thank you. This morning's gospel reading is the famous parable of the prodigal son. It is also known as the parable of the prodigal and his brother. This parable of a lost and found is well known not only to the Christians, but also to everyone else. Yes, this famous and timeless story of homecoming captures the hearts of those who always long for being found and coming back home. When the prodigal son finally returns home, the long-waiting father, an ever-forgiving father, excitedly tells his servant, "Quickly, Bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Yes, this awesome homecoming story illustrates God's unconditional love and God's unlimited forgiveness. This morning, I hope the title of my sermon has caught your special attention. Something worse than death. Something better than life. Surely, there is something worse than death. That is to be lost. And there is something better than life, and that is to be found. This is a central insight of the Gospel of Luke and all other Gospels, in fact, indeed of all scriptures. Simply, when we follow Christ faithfully, we are a new creation, for we were lost, but now are found. So generally, from this parable, you and I would identify ourselves as the prodigal son who was lost, but now is found. It's a beautiful story of God's love and amazing story of God's grace. As you are aware, the whole chapter 15 of Luke is known as the chapter of lost and found, which includes the three different parables, yet the same topic of lost and found. These three are the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and this parable of the prodigal son. Interestingly, along with the parable of the lost coin and this parable of the prodigal son are found only in the Gospel of Luke. This morning, through this classic and heartwarming story, I'd like to share just two brief insights with you. Number one, this parable is an open-ended story. For the young son, who is supposed to be the main character as the prodigal son, this story appears to be a complete and traditional story of lost and found. On the other hand, we also notice that there is another son, the elder son, who sounds like a faithful, righteous, and obedient son. However, because of this elder son's additional story, almost the half of the story actually, this parable turns out to be an incomplete story after all. When everyone was happily welcoming the younger son back home, this elder son unfortunately became upset, even angry, and complained. So, his father tells the elder son in verse 31, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." Surprisingly, this is it. This is the last part of the story. This is the end of the whole story. No further response or reaction from the elder son is recorded. We have no idea whether the son understood his father's heart and eventually joined the celebration banquet or not. We have no idea the older brother reluctantly or graciously forgave his younger brother and welcomed him back home or not? Jesus wouldn't tell us. This is obviously an open-ended story. Open-ended means having no fixed answer or conclusion. So generally, this kind of incomplete story's conclusion is expected to be done by the readers, listeners, not by the storyteller. In this case, Jesus. Jesus intended to tell us this parable to challenge us to identify ourselves not only as the prodigal son, but also as the elder son. How would you respond if you were the elder son? Beyond the traditional prodigal son story, you and I, along with many other readers, of listeners of this parable of Jesus, are urged to consider identifying yourselves as the elder son. So in this case, Jesus is asking you and me this question: will you join the celebration? Or yes or no, yes or no, right? See, it is totally up to your response how this story can be complete. Forgiving your younger brother or not. Happily ever after life or not. Grateful embrace or not. Restored and repaired relationships or not. How would you end your story? Therefore, it is your own story that Jesus invites you to complete. Second, through this parable, Jesus calls you to become the loving father or mother, the parent. I have read several books, devotions, and commentaries on this parable of the prodigal son, but to me, the best book ever written would be The Return of the Prodigal Son, a story of a homecoming written by Henry J.M. Nouwen, who was a Dutch-born Catholic priest, professor, theologian, and writer. I highly recommend you to read this book for your own spiritual adventure, if desired. The author Nouwen wrote this book after being inspired by the famous painting, The Return of the Prodigal Son, by the Dutch artist Rembrandt. While this photocopy of the painting is in the public domain, the original painting is still being displayed at Hermitage Museum, St. Petersburg. What country? Russia. So now is not a good time for you to visit Russia. You must wait until the ongoing war to be over. Anyhow, in the conclusion of the book, Nouwen writes, quote, "But Rembrandt, who showed me the Father in utmost vulnerability, made me come to the awareness that my final vocation is indeed to become like the Father and to live out his divine compassion in my daily life. Though I am both the young son and the younger son and the elder son, I am not to remain them, but to become the Father," unquote. No wonder another significant title for this story is known as the parable of the forgiving father. Yes, you are both the younger son and the elder son, but don't just stay there as the sons. You must become the father, the loving father and the life-giving father. From the painting of Rembrandt, especially from the father figure, Nouwen felt And so, not only forgiveness, reconciliation, and healing, but also safety, rest, being at home. These descriptions truly indicate the life-giving Father's characteristics and qualities. And you are also called by Jesus to see yourself as the Father, the loving Father, and to live the life of the ever-loving Father. And this life transition is just a beginning. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. When you realize your new role as the Father who loves, who waits, and who forgives your spiritual sons and daughters around you, your new spiritual adventure begins. Becoming the Father is not only limited to individuals, but to groups and communities, like the church. Just as the life-giving Father from the parable, a church is always called to be anxious to love, quick to forgive, and eager to reconcile. Dr. Fred Craddock was one of the greatest American professors of preaching. He passed away in 2015. He taught at Candler School of Theology, a graduate school of Emory University, Atlanta, Georgia. I didn't ask him, but Candler School of Theology is the Reverend Roy Ricks' alma mater, so he might have taken his preaching classes a long time ago. I'm not sure. I graduated from different seminary, but I also use the Dr. Craddock's preaching resource books, and I still use them for my sermon preparations. I found one of the stories Fred Craddock Jr., the professor, had shared on his father in the book entitled Jesus Parables of Grace, written by James W. Moore. When the professor, Fred Craddock Jr., was growing up in West Tennessee, his father, Fred Sr., didn't go to church. He was an intelligent person, but he didn't go to church. He would stay at home and complaining about the hypocrite, grumbling and fussing about lunch being late on Sunday. Once in a while, the pastor would come and try to talk to him, but he was kind of rough on the minister. "I know about you folks down at the church," he would say. "You aren't really interested in me. All you fellows want is another name on your roll and another pledge for your budget." Fred Jr.'s mother, who loved the church deeply, would be so embarrassed when her husband would talk to the pastor like that, and she would go into the kitchen and cry. Every minister who came would try his best to win over Mr. Craddock, but to no avail. The conversation would always go the same. Sometimes a guest evangelist would come to the church, and the pastor would say, "Here is the toffee, see him." But Fred Sr. would say it again, "You don't care about me. All you want is a new name on your roll and a new pledge for your budget." One time, he did not say it. He was in the veterans hospital dying. Fred Jr. rushed across the country to see his father. His dad was down to 74 pounds. Surgeons had taken out his throat in an attempt to save him, but they said it was too late. They put it in a tube so he could breathe, but he couldn't speak. As Fred Jr. looked around the room, there were gifts of love everywhere. Beautiful cut flowers, potted plants, thoughtful gifts, cards and letters all over the place, and all of them were from people at the church. The men's Bible class, the women's study class, the youth fellowship, every single gift from the persons or groups connected with the church. Fred Sr. saw his son Fred Jr. looking at the gifts. Fred Sr. took a pen and wrote on the side of a tissue box a line from Hamlet. Quote, "In this harsh world, draw your breath in pain to tell my story," unquote. Fred Jr. looked at what his father had written, and then he asked, "What is your story, Dad?" His father took the pen again and wrote on a tissue paper, "I was wrong." As the embodiment of the loving Father from the parable, the church, the community of faith and love, kept on loving. They were quick to be and unconditionally. My brothers and sisters in Christ, yes, after all, the parable of the prodigal son, the elder son, and the forgiving father is our story. Can we be that church as the embodiment of God's steadfast love? Can we deeply and sincerely love and forgive one another? Can we genuinely look for the lost, the last, and the least, and help them to be found? Can we truthfully and joyfully share the good news of healing and reconciliation with everyone? We are absolutely called to be that life-giving, father-like church in this ever-changing world and worse than death like time. Yes, our calling is to initiate and offer something way better than life. Thanks be to God. All the God's people say, Amen.